Now, why don't you go ahead and open up your Bible to back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. As you all know, this is our vision verse for the year, and Lord laid on my heart to actually come back to this to talk about the specific idea of dealing with ministry. I mean, today, you had your outline on the back of the bulletin, looking at evaluating your ministry. And the reason why I entitled that is because we've been looking at this verse, obviously, through the year, in a sense, as far as just our vision, and, you know, we reiterated the charge. When we started the charge, it was my message. I started out with this verse, and wanted to do the same likewise, and obviously, David just covered this a couple of weeks ago. And it's one of those things where, to be honest, like, okay, David, this is what I believe the Lord's laying on my heart to preach, and I know you're going to be in it this next coming week or so. But we kind of discussed. I mean, I figured that he was going to go through the mysteries that we're obviously supposed to be stewards of, which, as he mentioned, were the tools that we need to be able to use in our lives and obviously in dealing with ministry. And my focus in this verse is to actually deal with what is your ministry, and that's why I entitled the message today, "Evaluating Your Ministry." What kind of minister are you? And the reason why I say that is because when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 1, it says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And you go back to verse 1, that phrase is ministers of Christ. Well, if we're ministers of Christ, that means that we have a ministry. All right, and I already don't want you to think about that a minister or ministry. Well, that's what the pastors do, or that's what the deacons do, or that sort of thing. Or fine, specifically leading a Bible study or something like that. As Christians, we all have a ministry. We are to minister. We are to serve. You are a husband or a wife. You have a minister to your spouse. A ministry to your spouse. You have children. You have ministry to your kids. If you're co-workers, that sort of thing. You have people that are in your lives that God wants to use you to be able to minister to be able to serve. And so today, I'm not going to show you anything new. A lot of the cross references are things that you've seen or know or have memorized. But I really want us to all look and evaluate our ministry. Where are we at? Because we know, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, that we need to be found faithful. There's a day coming called the Judgment Seat of Christ that we as Christians need to stand before the Lord and give an account of what we've done with our lives as Christians. For me, it happens to be 25 years now. 25 years ago this month, I accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. So, you know, the judgment seat of Christ happened today. I need to give an account for those 25 years in ministry. And so what about you? I mean, you know, if you're saved, hopefully everyone here has accepted Christ as their Savior. But what have you been doing since that time? Where are you at in your ministry? So we're going to look at five different things today and dealing with that. First of all, looking at a realization of ministry. We got to realize we have a ministry. And then second of all, being equipped for the ministry. And we'll talk about that. I mean, God doesn't have you and give you a job without giving you equipment, being able to train you and give you the tools to be able to do such that. And then we'll talk about taking heed to the ministry after that. The importance of what are you doing with it? Are you really doing the ministry to your fullest? After that, we'll talk about being determined to minister. What stops you? What hinders you from being able to do the things that the Lord wants you to do? Hopefully nothing. And then finally, we'll look at completing your ministry. I think it should be every one of our goals to be able to stand before the Lord having completed everything that He has desired for us to do. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started in looking at evaluating our ministry. Father in heaven, we do thank you and praise you for the day. Again, just thank you for just the time that we've already had and just being able to fellowship and just be able to talk about things that are going on in our lives as we sit down and share a meal together. Lord, I just thank you for just the services so far, Lord, and just being able to praise you. Father, I pray that you help us to turn our hearts, our minds, our attentions to you, to your word. Lord, I pray that your spirit will examine each and every one of our hearts, that we evaluate, that we'd see exactly where we're at. It reminds me of David in the book of Psalms and just dealing with, hey, judge me, try me, know my heart, know my thoughts. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would not be thinking about somebody else. Oh, this message will be good for somebody else. Oh, Lord, we need to be thinking about ourselves, starting with me. Lord, I just pray that you would use me. I pray that you would clearly and effectively be able to lay out the truth of the Word of God, Lord, and the things that we need to see. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back again to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and read the first verse there. It says, "Let a man so account of us as are the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And obviously we've been through this and talking about our accountability to the body of Christ, our accountability to God, and accountability to His Word. But again, I want to just really deal with the aspect of ministry. When we get saved, it's not like that is it, that God has, you know, saved us and we're living on this planet and that's all we are, we're Christians until we die or for the rapture. God has a purpose. He has a plan for our lives. And if you guys have known me, I've talked about that a number of times in different messages. And the first point that we need to see, there's this realization of ministry. We have a ministry. God has given us to be able to do something on this planet. I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. And again, this is nothing new. I mean, you guys have been around, you know these verses. But I want to share these things with you and just kind of building up and understanding what we have as a responsibility as Christians to be able to minister to others, whether it's our family, whether obviously here in the local body, obviously in this world as we reach different people for Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says this, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I mean, that's our salvation. When we accepted Christ as our Savior, the old thing is passed away. We're a new creature. We're a new creation in Christ. And He's created us for a reason. Verse 18. It says, "In all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ." We were at odds with God before we got saved. And we have been reconciled when we accepted Christ as our Savior. And He's done that by His Son, Jesus Christ. And He goes on and says, us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So the moment that you got saved, you have been given something. You got a lot of things. You got your eternal security. You got still the Holy Spirit of God. But He's also given you a ministry of reconciliation. God wants you to be able to be used of Him to be able to reach others for Christ, whether it's lost or saved. You got to remember the context of what Paul is dealing with here in 2 Corinthians. He's talking to saved people. He's talking to the church of Corinth. And as we are going through 1 Corinthians, and as David gets further into it, we'll see that Corinth had a lot of problems that needed to be reconciled. And our job as ministers is not only to reconcile lost people to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, it's also to reconcile Christians who are not walking according to the truth of the Word of God. That is our job that we have. And if you continue there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, he shows us how we need to do that in verse 19. It says, "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation." So we're going to do the ministry of reconciliation by the word of reconciliation. That's why it's important for us to be in the Word of God daily. We'll talk more about that in our next point. But God has given us a job to do, each and every one of us. And it needs to start just even in the family, our family. I mean, as a husband, how am I ministering to my wife? Am I doing what the Word of God says and making sure that I'm fulfilling the responsibilities that I have as a husband to her? I am a father. How am I doing my job in ministering to my son and in teaching and instructing him so that he too can be a strong man of God someday, standing on his own, being able to raise his own family? How am I doing in that ministry of my family? Well, honestly, I have a responsibility here at KCBC. How am I doing that? Am I doing my ministry of reconciliation in a sense and by the word of reconciliation? How am I doing that here? And honestly, during work through the week, how am I doing my job as a minister? All of you have those same responsibilities in a sense. You have a family. It doesn't matter that you're a child. How are you ministering and serving your parents? School, work, how are you doing there? You're part of this local body. How are you serving here? All right? All of us are in this together as Christians. And we've got to realize we have a ministry. We're not here just to show up to church, listen to the message, and go home. All right? We're not just in our families and God said it so there just to do whatever. There's a purpose that God has for each and every one of you. He's given you a ministry. I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to pick it up in familiar verses 8 and 9. Understanding our salvation is, again, by grace. But God has saved us and given His grace for a reason and for a purpose. Not just so we don't spend eternity in hell, but He's got a job for us to do. He has works for us to do. In Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8, it says this, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." You can't work for your salvation. Jesus Christ has done all the work for you on the cross. All you can do is receive it. But notice verse 10. It says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." In other words, verse 10 talks about the choice that we have. God has created us. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. God has good works that He has before ordained that we should walk in them. It's our choice. You have a choice whether to walk in this ministry or not. Obviously, the right thing to do is to do that, to walk according to what God has laid out for us to do. He has good works already lined up. That's what's so amazing about God. I mean, before you were ever born, ever even thought of, He knew when you're going to be born. He knows if you're going to accept Christ or not. He has a plan all laid out. He knows what jobs you're going to have, what people you're going to run into. He knows that. And He has those good works already laid out for us. It's a matter of if we're going to choose to walk in them or not. God has preordained in eternity past that today I'd be preaching this message. I mean, really. I have a choice. I can pick up my Bible like, I don't think I want to do this, walk out the door and go home. Alright? I have that choice. But there's a day coming that I'm going to have to stand before Him and be accountable for the things that He wants me to do or has wanted me to do. And I got to get an account. How did I do that? God has good work for you. He already has them lined out. I'm telling you, this week, it's already planned out. He knows what your schedule is going to be. He's got somebody, I'm sure, that He wants you to talk to. Whether it's just ministering, again, just even just in your family. The question comes down to, are you going to walk in it or not? And it's interesting, you know, both with the references that we have in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as well as in Ephesians chapter 2. We talked about good works, we talked about having a ministry of reconciliation, and they followed verses dealing with salvation. See, the problem with Christianity today is we think it all begins and ends with the moment that we accept Christ. That's it, I'm saved, I got fire insurance, don't have to die, I'm not going to go to hell, and that's it. And I just go and just live my life like I want to, and everything's fine, hunky-dory. And unfortunately, there's a lot of churches today that pretty much that's all they teach and preach. You get saved, and that's it. Well, let's go reach somebody else for Christ, and that's it. That sort of thing. There's no growth, there's no understanding that God has a purpose for each and every individual on this planet. And God's going to hold us accountable to that. We need to evaluate. First thing we got to do is realize we have a ministry. He's given us a ministry of reconciliation. He's given us a word of reconciliation to do it. He's ordained good works that we should walk in. The question is, are we going to do it or not? Or do what we want to do? Now, again, you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, just to read it, just wanted to reiterate it. It says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ, in stewards of the mysteries of God," that David laid out a couple of weeks ago. How are we going to do this ministry? Man, He's given us the tools. I mean, all the different mysteries, the seven different mysteries that we are going to be held accountable, that we need to be good stewards of. Those are our tools that we need to use to be able to accomplish the job. When I was a police officer, there's many different tools that they gave us to be able to accomplish the job on a daily basis. I need to make sure that I understood how to use those tools and be trained in those tools and continue to be trained in those tools, so I'm able to do the job. Well, that's the same thing, obviously, for us in dealing with ministry and our walk with the Lord. But we need to be equipped for ministry. I've used this example before. I mean, I didn't get hired as a police officer, and in day two, they sent me in a car all by myself with my gun and my taser, and have at it, Charles. Do the best you can. No. 6 months of training. 6 months of training. And typically, as a police officer, it takes you 3 years to really get comfortable in the job. 3 years. It's a lot of training. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of investment per police officer. I mean, I don't know about every police agency, but at a minimum, at the Marion Police Department, to train up a person from zero going through the academy and fully equipping them to do the job, it's like a $70,000 price tag. It's a lot. It's a lot. Why? So hopefully you have a person that's going to be able to do the job and do it effectively. Well, the job that we have as Christians far outweighs that and the cost of that. There's the training that needs to take place so that you're able to do the ministry that God has given you to do. That's why it's the importance of the local church, and thus point number two, being equipped for ministry. Alright? There are so many churches, you can easily go to a place today that you'll sit down, listen to some feel-good message, feel good about yourself for a little bit, go home, and your life will be no different. And you just wait until next week until the positive preaching takes place again, and you'll feel good, pat yourself on the back, and go home. But nothing in your life has ever changed. And when you stand before the Lord, what will you have that you can look back and say, this is something I accomplished for the Lord. This is what the Lord did through me. It'll be nothing because you've been satisfied with the feel-good message. Well, not this church. Not this church. We're about equipping and training people in the Word of God because we understand there is a ministry that God has given us. And just like God doesn't ask you to do something and not equip you to do it. And we as pastors wouldn't ask you to do something and not equip you to do it. And you, in studying for this message, before I even get to some of the references here, actually I'll do this, I will do this. Turn back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. This is where we take our main vision for our church. I just want to read verse 12. Because this is what any biblical local church ought to be doing. Commanded to do. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You go to church, you should be able to be perfected. You should be able to grow in your walking relationship with the Lord. You should be able to understand and be involved in the work of the ministry, to be able to edify, to be able to build others up. That is what a church is all about. Not just going and listening to some message, getting your emotions tickled, and then go home and nothing's different. You should be able to equip you for the job that God has for you to do. Now, in that church, size does not matter. I mean, as far as how big, how many people we have, or anything like that. But in our church alone, here's what we have. I may miss something, but I don't think so. We have question and answer Bible study. We didn't have it today, but we will have it again, obviously, normally like we do next week. Obviously, every Sunday we have the preaching of the Word of God that happens. We have, obviously, our children's ministry, both for the Bible study time and the morning service. That's where they're at right now. Getting our children are being trained in the Word of God, not being babysat. Getting trained in the Word of God, as Nathaniel even gave evidence this morning, getting up and sharing the verse. All right, we train our kids in the Word of God. If you're listening on the internet, I would challenge some church adults against some of our kids because we train them in the Word of God. That's what it's all about. All right. We have our children's ministry. Obviously, I'm the young adult pastor and dealing with our sentinels ministry. And inside of that ministry, we have Paul's Mighty Men and Life Bears. All right? That they're dealing with trying to reach people and continue to edify and build each other up. We have our Soldiers of Truth training on Wednesday night. All right? This is not just another little Bible study. We train you in the Word of God. We are equipping you in the Word of God to be able to do the job that God has for you. Obviously, we've already heard our announcements that we have help meets that's going to be tomorrow, on Monday. We have that ministry to be able to have ladies and to be able to continue to strengthen and edify them. We have obviously our discipleship ministry, another one of my responsibilities. And it's nice to be able to have several people being discipled right now in our church. All right? Well, equipping them to be able to do the job that God has for them. We have doctrinal truth. The goal is for David to finish up today. Well, we'll see. All right. But we have doctrinal truth. Well, we have this few months that go by that we're studying things even further beyond discipleship. Obviously, we have counseling. If anybody needs any kind of counseling, we do that. We have the charge that we do once a year. That, again, just equipping, more training, having a fun time in the Word of God. We have the women's ministry. They always have a women's conference where they're always laying something out. In this church, these are the things that we have to be able to equip people to be able to do the job that God has called us to do. Because we need to be equipped for ministry. I want you to turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter, there's no way I can ever, lead a Bible study or just even, teach anybody anything. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I mean, I'm pretty sure I can say the same thing for John and for David as well as myself. I didn't get saved to know all this stuff. That didn't happen. I got saved when I was 19 years old. God gave me a desire to love His Word and to be used of Him. Those are two things that motivated my life for these last 25 years. Love the Word of God, and I want to be used of God. That's what my life boils down to. I didn't know all this. No, and there's a lot more that I need to continue to learn. As a matter of fact, you have the heart attitude of one, understanding God has given you a ministry. And that you have a heart, you know what, if I got a ministry, I better make sure I'm ready for it, get equipped for it. Do you have that heart desire? Or is it just desire to live in the flesh and fulfill your wants and desires and do whatever you want? As a Christian, just realize you're going to be held accountable. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 1. That's what the Apostle Paul says. We're going to pick it up in verse 12. He says, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." That word injurious sounds, if you don't know, well, that's a funny King James word. It's the same word that you're familiar with, injury. If somebody has an injury, what happens? They got hurt. Paul hurt some people. Alright? And that's what his life was before he got in Christ. It doesn't matter your background. What happened? He said what? God enabled him. But notice that he was faithful. What about us? You see, ultimately, it's like, the Lord has used a lot of incredible men of God in my life to get me to the place that I am here now. But ultimately, really, it's God that is the one that enabled me to do it. And if you're thinking there, it's like, okay, I got this ministry, but I have no idea how to, I don't know where everything is at in the Bible, I don't know how to rightly divide or whatever. All right, that's why we have what we have as ministries in this church. But ultimately, you've got to trust God. Hey, God, teach me. Show me. Enable me. Because that is exactly what God did with the Apostle Paul. He enabled him. And notice that Paul was faithful. So the question comes as we evaluate our ministry, are we going to be faithful to the things that God shows us? Got to be enabled for ministry. I want you to, since we're in a neighborhood, I mean, again, familiar verses, but look at 2 Timothy in chapter 3, picking it up in verse 16. Talking about being enabled for ministry. That God to equip us for the job that He's given us to do. You see this in Timothy's life. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll pick it up in verse 16. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." We've already read in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12, "For the perfecting of the saints." A lot of times people come to the Bible and they hear that word perfect, that God wants us perfect. Well, nobody can be perfect. And they immediately equate perfection with sinlessness. And that's not how the Bible uses the word perfect. It's dealing with that. You even see it here in verse 17. "Truly furnished into all good works." Being perfected is to have that maturity that God can use you for the good work that He's already laid out for you, which we've already seen in Ephesians 2:10. You look, since we're here anyway, you guys know it, but again, 2 Timothy 2. In verse 2, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also." I mean, again, that's why our discipleship ministry, they're being able to take the truth of the Word of God and committing it to others that hopefully are going to be faithful so they can turn around and teach somebody else. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." How much time are you spend in the Word of God, not just in the reading it, but the studying of the Word of God? Again, why? Equipping yourself to be able to do the good works that God has laid out for you to do. Here's the thing you got to understand. I have no idea what God wants for you in the future. I don't. But He does. I'm still working on, you know, what God wants for me to continue to do in ministry. But here's the thing. If you're going to be have a hard attitude of being faithful to what He has shown you, and that you're going to be faithful to have a hard attitude, "I want to be equipped to do and be ready for what God has for me," all right? Then He's going to show you and He's going to equip you to be able to do it. Case in point in my life. I started teaching karate, training in karate because I thought, you know what, it'd be fun to do. I watched a few kung fu movies. I like those. It's like, you know, it'd be kind of cool to be able to know how to do that stuff. But I got started later in life. I didn't get started in karate until I was 20 years old because I just didn't have time. I was at school, music, I was busy, that sort of thing. I never had time to do it. But opportunity came for me to take karate, so I started. I continued my training when we moved to Canada as missionaries up there. And if you were to go back, but probably, I don't know, 1994, 95, probably when I started training again. And if you would have said, somebody, "Charles, this is going to happen. By 2013, karate is going to be a full-time job for you. You're going to have roughly about 200 students a month in 7 different schools." I said, "Yeah, I'm not doing that. There's no way. Not those kids. I don't want to deal with that now." You know?
because they always put their fingers in their mouth and their nose, and then they want to come and fight you. It's like, get away from me. No.
I had no clue. God knew. And how do we get, when you get to that point by just take class one day and all of a sudden, boom, I have this and the responsibilities that I have with it? That didn't happen. It happened through time, of being faithful to this, to that, to learn this, to get this level down, and so on and so on. Before I know it, I'm black belt. Before I know it, I'm where I'm at today. Step by step by step by step, being enabled and being faithful. Being enabled and being faithful. And this is the plan that God had for me. Here I am today with it. I have no idea where it's going to go. Doesn't matter. Making sure consistently every day, hey, be enabled, be equipped. And that's all we're asking as a church for you guys to do is, hey, be here on Sundays, be here on Wednesdays, get equipped, be discipled, step by step by step, and you're going to find that, man, God's going to be able to use you in some incredible ways, not only just in your family, not only in this church, but even in the world, if you just get equipped, enabled, and be faithful to what He's given you. But a lot of times, people never realize the full potential of what they can do because they don't have the heart attitude or the mindset that they really want to serve God and understand that there's a purpose in your life. I wish I would, since I'm using karate as an analogy, it's amazing how many people drop out at brown belt. It's amazing. Happens all the time. And people know what a black belt is, you know? You know, hey, did you reach brown belt? Are you a brown belt? Who asked that question? Nobody. Who takes right? Are you a black belt? And Boy Scouting. Nobody. Do you know what the rank is before Eagle Scout? No clue, do you? No clue. It's life. And only probably people who've been in Boy Scouts even know that. But pretty much but if you're in the United States, you know Eagle Scout, you know what an Eagle Scout is, because that's top. So many people drop out. So many, and they don't have the mindset, the heart set to be able to continue. I don't know. But what's sad is that's the same thing for Christians. Most Christians are satisfied in doing what they're doing right now, maybe either listening to the message online, you know, don't even have to go out of the house. They're satisfied with going to church and maybe hear some message and get my little dose of spirituality. Most people are satisfied, well, okay, two times a year I got to go to church. And we know what those two times are, don't we? That's where most Christians. All right, I ain't talking about lost people. I hope that's not your heart attitude. I hope that's not your mindset, because God has so much more for you. But are you going to be faithful so He can enable you to accomplish the things that He has for you? We talk about point one, the realization of ministry. We talk about being equipped for ministry. Now I'm going to talk about taking heed to the ministry. We're ministers of Christ. We have a ministry. We need to take heed to it. I want to turn to Colossians chapter 4. Again, most of you probably already know where I'm going. Obviously, in the sensible ministry, the young adult ministry, we covered this last year. But before we actually look, we're going to look at Colossians 4 in verse 17 and look at a man called Archippus. Or Archippus, however you want to pronounce it. But before I actually look at that, I want you to go back to Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to read the first couple of verses. Because it says this, Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, here's what I want you to understand. Paul's addressing this letter to the church that is in Colossae, to the saints that are there. That means every one of them in that church was hearing this letter. And then you get to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17. All right, getting down to the end of the letter, and all of a sudden it says this in verse 17. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Now, I don't know if Archippus was in the audience that day when it was read, but imagine if he was. Imagine that. Coming through the whole letter, sitting there and everything like that, and all of a sudden he hears his name. And Paul is telling the church of Colossae, say to Archippus. I don't know how big the church was. I don't know if they stood up right there. Hey, Paul just told you, Archippus, take heed to your ministry that you received. Or maybe Archippus wasn't there that day because maybe he felt a little sick. Or maybe it was raining outside. Oh, I don't want to get out.
I don't know. Whatever excuse that he could have had. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But it does tell us, hey, Church of Colossae, talk to Archippus and tell him to take heed to the ministry which he has received. Past tense. And make sure he fulfills it. We'll talk about that on the last point. Archippus is being held accountable by the body that he makes sure that he accomplishes the ministry that God gave him. Archippus obviously understood that he had received the ministry, that he has a ministry. And honestly, he's at the place where he's been equipped to do that ministry. But he's not taking heed to it. Also, Archippus is not alone. A lot of Christians, as they come to the place, they understand that they got a job to do. Now they're going to be held accountable to it. And they're equipped to do it. Man, they're ready to teach anybody the Word of God. They're ready to go. They're ready to, you know, somebody ask them a question about the Word of God or how to become saved, they're ready to sit down and do it, but they're not ready because they're not taking heed to it. You know what I want to take heed? Pay attention to. When you heed something, you better pay attention to it. It happens all the time when it rains a whole bunch and there's this water on the road. What do the weathermen always tell you? Make sure you don't travel and drive through high water. But you always got some idiot out there that does it. Because why? They didn't take heed to the warning. On Father's Day, or actually the Saturday, my son took me to Cool Crest over in Independence. We started the Independence Open. We actually played all four courses out there. It was a great day. I mean, we won like four free games, and I won. That's nothing to do with the message. But anyhow, but on the way back, that's when it started raining. And we're driving down south. I mean, this is the worst rain I've driven in a long time. You know, there's people on the side of the road with the hazard lights on, and we can make it. We'll keep on going, and he's filming it. You know, and at one point, this truck passed, and he had to be first in front of me, I guess. And I was totally drenched with rainwater. I could not see at all. I'm driving by faith, not by sight. And, got through it all. We got home and everything like that. I probably should have pulled over. But, if I did, I wouldn't have this fun story to tell to you about right now. All right, so, but it's like there's some things that happen that are warnings that we need to take heed to, pay attention to, and we do and we don't. You know, I mean, I think it's a guy's DNA. Remember one time it was a few years ago when there was a tornado it hit Liberty, Missouri, and we're with our family in Excelsior Springs, and a tornado was on its way. I mean, it did a lot of damage to the university there. And the women and kids are doing the smart thing. They're taking heed. They're in the basement. What are those guys doing with us husbands? We got the video camera going. We're outside on the porch waiting to see something. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, what's that golf ball? I've never seen golf balls like hell before. And literally, it's like, why is there a golf ball in your backyard? Oh, that's why they call it golf ball size hell. Just point, we're sitting there videotaping it. And we're like, okay, hey, I dare you. Run out to the car and come back and see how, I mean, this is what guys do. We don't take heed to stuff. We don't. And how does the human race survive? But anyhow, Paul is telling Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received. You have it. Here's the thing. We are all Archippus in a sense. We have a ministry. If you're saved, you have received a ministry. We've already talked about it. The question now is, are we being equipped and are we taking heed to it? Are we paying attention to our ministry? Are we paying attention to your ministry, to your family, to your spouse, to your kids? Are you taking heed to the ministry that you have in this local body? That's why it's important for all of us to be here to help edify and to build each other up when we're here and have an occasion to do so. I mean, are we taking heed to that co-worker or to that student or whoever you go to school with or go to work with that have an opportunity to be able to share the truth of the Word of God? Are you taking heed, paying attention to it, or not? Archippus is being held accountable by his whole church to take heed. Almost the last thing that Paul says, minus verse 18. And say unto Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, past tense, that thou fulfill it. We'll talk about that again in our last point. Take heed.
I want you to turn back to 1 Corinthians. I mean, Paul understood this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. A chapter that talks about the preaching of the truth of the Word of God. And I want you to notice what he says in verses 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 and 17, it says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. It says, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel!" Exclamation point. You think Paul's pretty serious about this? And you got to understand, this is not just something that God is writing to Paul. This is the Word of God to us as Christians. We all have this responsibility to be preaching the Word of God. And again, it doesn't mean that everybody's a pastor. Everybody has their own specific Bible study, whatever. But we have people that God wants us to reach with the gospel. We are accountable for that. And he says such in verse 17. It says, "For if I do the thing willingly, I have a reward. But against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." In other words, I am going to be held accountable for this. We, as Christians, are going to be held accountable to the ministry of preaching the truth of the Word of God. Take heed. It reminds me, you know, my days of being a police officer, and especially being a traffic cop the last year before I resigned. My whole goal was to, I had to pull people over and give them tickets. You know, sometimes I didn't mind giving people tickets because they really deserve it. But sometimes, you know, it's a hard job. But you'd always get the different excuses. I've had the lady get out of the car with her legs like this. "I got diarrhea, that's why I'm speeding. I don't care if you're lying. I don't want to take a chance. Go." Didn't even get out of my car. All right? I mean, you have all kinds of excuses, you know, and it's always, well, you know, where does that heal? A heel that I was coming down, that's why I was speeding. "You need to do something about that." "Okay, sir, once I'm done with my job, I'll go get a backhoe or something and try to grade it down and smooth it out for you so you don't have to worry about speeding." I mean, you get all kinds of, I literally had one guy make himself throw up thinking that I was going to feel sorry for him because I was like his third ticket in a month, you know. I just went over to the passenger side and, "Hey, here's your ticket," all right? But you get the, "Well, I didn't see the sign. I didn't know what the speed limit is." You know what? It does not matter. Whether you know what the speed limit is, whether you don't see the sign or not, it does not matter. The traffic law is this. You're supposed to do 25 miles per hour in a residential area. Even in the Kansas Driver's Handbook, if you don't know what a speed limit is in a neighborhood, you're supposed to drive 25 miles per hour. You can give me an excuse all day long. That does not change the law. All right? And I'm going to help you to remember this by giving you a ticket. And of course, I know people upset. It's like, "Man, this ticket costs what?" Yeah. You know, there's a reason why that is. Look, it's not just David, John, myself, or any other, I'll include people who are preaching the truth. It's not just our ministry. This is your ministry. You have a ministry. And whether you realize it or not, but you should, because we just covered point one. If you missed it, it'll be on the internet in a week or so, and you can hear it again. But we all have a ministry, and we're all going to be held accountable for that ministry, whether you realize it or not. As a Christian, you say, "Well, it was the church I was a part of. My preacher never preached anything like this. I didn't know." Wait a minute. You're saved, you got the Spirit of God, you got the Word of God. You gotta understand, God's not up in heaven. It's like, "Well, I hope you figure this thing out." That's not God. I know that God directed my life to make sure I got equipped and realized the ministry that I had. And I mean, He did that with me. And I don't think I'm the only person that He's done that with in all of ages. And I don't think that's the same thing that David would say, that, yeah, it's just, man, we're lucky. I mean, God just happened to sign His favor on us. We're no different than anybody else. We all have a ministry. We all have a responsibility to preach the truth of the Word of God. And we all, as Christians, will be held accountable. We'll be faithful to it, or we'll be left wanting. Take heed to the ministry. We need to move on again. Actually, I want you to go back again to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. We talked about this realization of ministry, being equipped for ministry, taking heed
to the ministry. And now I want you to understand being determined to minister. You go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. I'll read it from there. It says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." And verse 2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And it's faithful. It's required. If you had a financial advisor that you allocated so much money for him to invest for your retirement, and that financial advisor went out and took your money and decided that he was going to invest in some scheme that lost you your money, would you give that financial advisor more money to invest? I would hope not. No, you wouldn't. Why? He wasn't faithful. He wasn't faithful to it. Alright? We are stewards of the mysteries of God. And David laid those things out 2 weeks ago. God has given you a ministry, and you're a steward over it, and hopefully you want to be one that's going to be found faithful, and not one that's going to be found wanting, as I said, at the judgment seat of Christ. And so, when you get to this place where you really, truly, yourself realize you have a ministry, God wants to use you, and then you're going to take the steps to get equipped to be able to do whatever God has for you to do, and you get equipped, and you understand that you know what, I got to pay attention, I got to take heed to that ministry. How am I doing that ministry? Am I doing it to the best of my ability? Am I doing it just like a Colossians 3:23, doing it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men? Understanding that I'm going to receive a reward or suffer wrong if I do it wrong. You take heed to it. You got to get to a place of being determined to minister. You know, I made, in a sense, a little bit earlier here, a joke about, you know, with Archippus, it's like, you know, whether he was at the service or not that day. But, I mean, I'm always amazed. People will bend over backwards and do whatever they have to do to get to work. Paycheck ball. Do I really have to go home? I know I got the swine flu, but, you know, I still want to come to work. No, get out of here. But at the first sniffle or drizzle, can't make a church. Oh no. I mean, stepping on some people's toes. I'm sorry if I am. Not really, but I'll say it anyway. I'm amazed at the excuses that people come up with why they can't get involved in doing the things that God wants them to do. Because there's no greater paycheck than a judgment seat of Christ. But you won't think about that because that's tangible in a sense. It's not something that we hold in our hand or get directly deposited into our account. Even though it does get directly deposited in our account. Spiritually speaking. If we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. But we don't think about it because we don't see it. You know, I don't get a judgment seat of Christ bank statement of how much gold, silver, and precious stones I have. I don't get that on a monthly basis. So it's easy for Christians not to think about it. Not, you know, but they'll do bend over backwards, do anything they can because there's a paycheck involved. But when it comes to the things that are spiritual, the things that are going to last forever, slightest little thing will come up and, well, I can't make it, I can't do it. You've got to be determined to minister. I want you to look back at Acts chapter 20. Again, nothing new. Guys are familiar with this. Acts chapter 20, Paul is dealing with the church leaders of Ephesus before he's going to go to Jerusalem, and he understands that when he goes to Jerusalem that there's persecution waiting for him there. Not for sure what all is going to happen, but he knows. I mean, the Spirit of God's been witnessing to him in every city that there's going to be bonds and afflictions as if he goes to Jerusalem. But he says this to them in Acts chapter 20, down in verse 24. "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." This is a man that has, if you want to understand some of the things that Paul goes through in dealing with ministering the truth of the gospel of grace, being shipwrecked, being beaten, stoned, left for dead, I mean, just all these things that happened to him, he is determined to continue to minister the truth of the Word of God. None of us have been through anything like that. I mean, maybe you went on a carnival cruise. Maybe you've been shipwrecked. But besides that,
None of us have been through the things that the Apostle Paul went through. And he was determined to continue the ministry because he understood that God gave him a ministry. He understood that God has a course for him. And he wanted to desperately complete that course before he stood before him. And he was determined to minister. Nothing was going to stop or hinder him from that. Why? He didn't count his life dear unto himself. We don't have the time, but we can go to Philippians 1:21. It's one of our memory verses anyway. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. His life was about serving Jesus Christ. To minister. No matter what. What about us? I'm reminded of the time my wife and I went to Romania back in 1991. And it was after the communist government collapsed, and the church we were part of at the time sent teams in like once a month to work in the churches over there to do discipleship and so forth. And the problem in Romania is that there were a number of churches, but there were limited pastors. And there was pastors that would have two or three different churches, and they would just rotate through the weeks and going to these churches. And one of the churches we were at, I remember we were, our first week we were in one of the main cities, and then after that we went out to the country. And our ride that picked us up, the car broke down on the way, and we're supposed to have a meeting get started, church service, that afternoon, but we're late, and it was like 80 kilometers away. They finally came to pick us up. My wife and I were in the back seat. Of course, they spoke Romanian, or in Romania. We spoke English. We didn't speak Romanian, but it was a great ride there because we communicated by singing hymns. You know, they were singing in Romanian, we were singing in English until we got to the church. Well, we were like 2 hours late getting to that church. Church was packed, waiting for us to start. Later that week, we went to another church in the afternoon before we went back to this church in the evening time. And, you know, here's in Romania. I mean, it was common. You wouldn't just have one person get up and preach a message. You'd have two, sometimes maybe three. It'd be like, once I was done now, then David's going to get up and start preaching. And then John is going to get up and say something. You go, well, wait a minute. Why are we going to be here all day? We're at this church. Two of us were preaching. Once we were done, we had to go because we had to finish up what we're doing in the first church that we're at. And the people were still sitting there in the chairs wanting to hear more. That's a preacher's dream. But that's the desire that they had. I mean, that they would say they wanted to hear the Word of God. They wanted to hear it more. The average message in Christianity today is probably 20 minutes. And really not much of the Word of God. These people, they were determined. I mean that trip did us so much good. It opened our eyes to really how the world is, in a sense, and getting out of this culture of the United States. A people that had just a hunger and a desire for truth and fellowship. It did us a world of good. Everybody should have that experience sometime in their lifetime if they can. Understand, being determined to minister. I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What prevents you? What stops you? I mean, I wonder if the three of us, somehow something happened and we weren't able to show up. Would you guys treat us like college? We'll give them 15 minutes and then we're going to leave. Or would one of you stand up, open up the Word of God, and start preaching? Determined to minister. Determined. There's a job for us. There's a job that He wants to complete. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 4, it says this: therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. God gives us mercy every day. He says, we're not going to faint. He goes on in verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I mean, they're determined to minister. Even when it's tired and it looks like we got to faint. No. God gives us mercy. He gives us the ability to be able to continue on and preach the truth of the word of God. Determined. Not letting anything be an excuse. Well, I'm just tired. I can't do Bible study today. Or I can't go to church. No. Determined. God, give me grace. Give me mercy. If I feel like I can't do it, give me grace. Give me mercy to do it. I mean, going back to a karate analogy, every time, we always start a class off by makso. Makso is a Japanese word for meditating. And it's not some Eastern crazy thing or anything like that, but we're going to focus on karate, not anything else. Nothing else matters. Pretty much without fail, at the beginning of class and at the end of class, and especially when I don't feel that great. You know, well, most of you probably know, my theme verse of my karate ministry is Psalm 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teaches my hands to war, my fingers to fight. And a lot of times I really pray heavy the first part of that verse. Blessed be the Lord my strength. God, give me the strength to make it through today. Especially when I have to teach by myself like I did the last couple of days. It's kind of a lot to handle when you're on your own. But it's like, Lord, give me the strength. You know what? I'm here today. I haven't killed any kids. You know? I'll be back next week. I mean, he gives me the strength, the mercy and grace to be able to get through it. Well, even more so in dealing with ministry and dealing with the importance of being accomplishing what God has for you in this planet. Trusting God, give me the mercy, give me the grace to be able to continue through and not to faint. Go over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Very important to make it all the way through. To do nothing to quit. I mean, don't get to a place where you understand you have a ministry, realization of ministry. You get equipped for the ministry. You take heed to the ministry. And then you stop because you're not determined to continue the ministry. Don't stop. Keep going. You're not done until you're dead or the judgment seat of Christ. And it's important. You don't want all of that you have invested to also not count because you stop. Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. Or actually, verse 7 through 9. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. You'll have nothing to show for your life if all you do is live in the flesh as a Christian. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, condition, if we faint not. I have a buddy of mine that believes still to this day that even if he stopped doing anything for the Lord, if he's doing anything for the Lord, the stuff that he's done in the past, God is the one that's keeping that, and he's still going to get rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Not according to that verse. You only reap if you faint not. You got to keep going. And God, again, it's not up there. It's like, I give you this course, I give you this ministry, and you got to do it in your strength. You're not supposed to do it in your strength. It's His strength. And don't you think that God's going to give you the mercy and the grace to be able to complete what you need to do? I mean, I'm telling you. I know David's been in this position. I'm sure John has too. But there's time. One time I was teaching a Bible study. I'm sorry, I could be a little bit graphic, but my nose was starting to bleed, and I had diarrhea, and I gotta finish. I gotta finish what I'm teaching. As soon as I'm done, boom, right to the bathroom I went. But if God gives me the grace and the mercy to do something like that, God can give you the grace and the mercy and everything you need to make it however long you're supposed to be on this planet, fulfilling the course that He's given you. I want you to look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Determined to minister. We've seen this name in our scripture reading this morning as we started 1 Corinthians. It's kind of interesting that you see his name at the beginning of the book and you see it at the end of the book. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And I want you to pick it up in verse 15. And if there's ever a group of people that needed to be among around this guy, it was the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 15, it says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of the chaos, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. in verse 15, that the house of Stephanus, they had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Those of you, I've preached this sort of thing before, and you heard me say this before and give this analogy, but for those of you who haven't, I mean, you've got to understand, this is the only time in all of the Word of God that the word addicted is used. You will not find it any other place in Scripture, except for here. And it's used in connection to what? Ministry. They were addicted to ministry. That's a good addiction to have. We have people that are addicted to all kinds of things these days. The thing that we need to be addicted to is ministry. That's the only thing we need to be addicted to, is ministry. The ministry of the saints that we are understanding. You know, again, for me, I should be addicted to ministering to my family, because my family's saved. They're saints. I should make sure that I'm doing what I need to do as a husband and as a father, and I need to continue to learn and grow in that. I know that. But I also need to be addicted to the saints as far as the local body. I need to minister to the people of KCPC. I should be addicted to that. I should want to spend time, no matter if I'm tired, no matter... I'm going to pick on you. We had the Hastings over. I can't go with Sunday without picking on you, because you always pick on me. And he knew it was coming. I mean, he probably have it already in your notes.
This is where Charles is going to talk about me right now.
No, you know what? I didn't get the greatest sleep on Friday night and Saturday. And I had my teaching of karate all day. But we haven't spent time together in a while, and it was great having the Hastings over. And, you know, as our wives were, you know, doing temporal things downstairs watching the movie, Richard and I were being spiritual. Not together. I'm so in trouble now. It's going to be a long ride to South Dakota now. All right. It was nice to spend time discussing Bible stuff, just our lives and what's going on, because it has been a while. And it's like, was I tired? Yes. Was he tired? I know he was tired too. I mean, but it was the joy of the fellowship of believers. And it's like, you know, it shouldn't matter. It's amazing sometimes how we will stay up to do things that are, and I'm not talking about our wives or anything like that, but it's amazing sometimes what we will sacrifice to do something temporal, but we want our fellowship down to this much time, that's it. Got to go. And it's like, man, we should be addicted to this stuff. Because, you know, it's real. And the joy that you have, I still remember times, again, with Romania coming into mind. The times that we spent with believers that I won't see again until we're in heaven. But it was some of the most sweetest, most beautiful time ever. I mean, it's incredible some of the things that I've had in just fellowship. I remember a time with David. It was when we had, back then we called Sons of Thunder, and we had a study, and I knew I had limited time. But this is right before Trish, we were getting ready to have Andrew. And David and Sylvia had like a big kid, so he's been through it before. This is my first time, so okay, David, okay, this thing's really going to happen now, okay? And what do I need to do? You know, give me some spiritual advice, you know, and just taking the time to say, you know, because why? It's that relationship that we have. It should be addictive. Being in the Word of God with the fellowship of believers should be addictive. It's something that we should be wanting and desiring to do. We shouldn't wait to be able to get to Wednesday night, because we're going to have fellowship with the believers. And to be able to have God, hey, use me, God. I'm addicted to this. I got to share the truth. You know, when people are addicted to something, I mean, you guys, hopefully you never have to deal with this experience, but in the world of policing, you deal with people that are all tweaked out on meth or some other drug. And they got to have it. The shakes are coming in. They'll do anything. Steal from mom and dad to be able to get some money so they can have their drug because they're addicted. They got to have it. They hang around people that are doing it. They're addicted to it. They got to have it. And it destroys their life. How come we can't have that same addiction for ministry? That we start getting jittery. It doesn't feel right. I haven't shared the Word of God today. You think about all the things that you've seen and what people do that are addicted to the junk of this world. Would that describe you in a sense because you haven't ministered today? Haven't been in the Word, haven't been praying, haven't had fellowship? Man, I don't feel quite right. Oh, come on. I'm low in ministry. I need to get my ministry fixed. Go down to the house of Stephanus. Hey, Stephanus, give me some of that ministry, man. I got to have more of it. I mean, it sounds funny talking like that. It does. I know it does. But you got to ask yourself, are you determined to ministry? Are you addicted to ministry?
Man, that was the house of Stephanus. And if there's any group of people that needed to understand, hey, you submit, Paul says, you submit yourself to the house of Stephanus.
You need to be around somebody that's addicted to ministry, because you need that same addiction to rub off on you.
We talked about realization of ministry. We talked about being equipped for ministry. The importance of taking heed to the ministry that we receive. Being determined to minister. Nothing is going to stop you. Now, point five, completing your ministry.
You look over in 2 Timothy again. Again, as I said at the beginning, these are not verses that are new to the majority of you.
But we need to see them again in light of the context of what we're talking about, evaluating our ministry. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm actually going to start in verse 1, because it deals with our accountability before the Lord, judgment seat of Christ. This is Paul telling Timothy. This passage is very, very dear to me. Lord used that in understanding my course and direction of preaching the Word of God. It says in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and is appearing in His kingdom. That's our accountability for Him. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they keep to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. This is not a cheery weather report of ministry. It's not. But what does Paul tell Timothy? Verse 5. But, contrast, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Do it to the full.
It's just like with Archippus. Take heed to the ministry, see that thou fulfill it. We're already in the passage, might as well look at it right now while we're there. If you just look down in verse 7, Paul says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Remember when we read in Acts 20:24, where that was his desire, but none of these things moved me. He's determined. He's going to minister, that he wanted to complete that course, that ministry that God gave him with joy. At the end of his life, he's able to say that. That's why I believe every Christian, that should be your goal. Before you die, or before the rapture, that you can stand before the Lord, having completed everything that He's given you to do. That you talk to everybody He wanted you to talk to. That you have taught whatever Bible study that you're supposed to teach. Proclaim whatever He wanted you to proclaim, you know, to do your job biblically as a husband or as a wife, as children in the household, whatever the position that you're in, that you have completed and done everything that He has given you to do. It should be every one of our goals. Fulfill it. You see, we're not just, you make full proof of it. We're not just talking about, you know, I mean, literally. Okay, I could have... Most of this message, or things that I've in previous messages I've taught, I've got notes in my Bible, I've got an outline. Oh, I got this Sunday, so I've already got that outline, and okay, I can make something up, and okay, I'm going to talk about ministry, fine. And never touch it again until I got up today. That would not be making full proof of this opportunity and ministry that God has given me today. Did I do everything? Did I study it, review it every day? Because every time, you see my outline, if you were to look at it, I mean, you see what is, I mean, I got all the references out and things like that, but you see that there's notes of the Canons and Temple, but those extra notes, those notes came from as I continued to study and review things out. Why? Because I want to make sure that I'm going to say and communicate everything that the Lord would have me to. And not just be, hey, I did this probably 3 or 4 weeks ago. Alright? I'm not just being satisfied, oh, I got the outline, I got some references, I'm good to go. I've been doing this preaching thing for about 25 years now, it shouldn't be any problem. No! That's not making full proof. Can I do everything I can to make sure I'm prepared to the fullest extent that God can use me to the fullest? And I got to evaluate myself. I mean, again, my first ministry is to my family. My first, very first ministry is to my spouse. Am I doing that to the fullest? Am I doing my best in being the biblical husband I need to be? There's room for me to grow. I've been a father now for 20 years, almost 21 years. Is there room for me to continue to grow in that relationship? Well, of course there is. I've been involved in ministry in this local church for 8 years now. Is there room for me to grow and continue? Of course there is. I need to evaluate that and see how I can do it better so I can be fully used of God to the greatest extent. Can I be better at my job and being able to share truth of the Word of God with people? Yes, there's room for me to grow in that. I haven't arrived yet. And all I'm asking you today is, in all seriousness, evaluate your ministry. Whatever position you are in life, wife, husband, child, employee, employer, whatever it is, if you have responsibilities in our church, whatever the case is, evaluate your ministry. One, do you realize you have a ministry? I hope so. How are you in being equipped for that ministry? Are you doing what you need to be? Are you in discipleship? Did you need to get discipled? Or in doctrinal truth, the next stage of it? Are you doing what you need to be doing? Like, can you be drawing in your Bible work? Hey, can I commit more to being here on Wednesday? Whatever the case is, evaluate. How are you doing in a job? If you're working, do people know you're Christian? Are you secret agent Christian? Do they know? How are you doing? Are you seeking opportunities? I understand you're not going to have every day go by that there's going to be an opportunity. Sometimes it may be. I've had weeks like that every day. There's something here and there, a little bit. But then there's days that maybe, there are weeks that maybe I only had one chance to say something. All right? But is your heart attitude that, hey, I'm ready today, Lord. If the opportunity comes, if this is a good work I'm supposed to be walking in, man, I'm ready to go. Is that it? Is that an open door? Is that something I got? Are you ready? Or are you like, man, I got to go about my day, I got to get this done, I got to get this done, then, oh yeah, there's God, maybe I'll read it if I have time, or whatever. Evaluate. Make sure that your schedule doesn't exclude what God wants to do. Make sure you're not too busy to be ministering to Him and ministering for Him. Allow Him to minister through you. I want you to evaluate. And not just today, but every day. Evaluate where you're at. Is there more equipment that needs to be involved? Man, get equipped. I've been doing karate for 24 years. I've been doing karate pretty much as long as I've been saved. Crazy. But they're still training. Still go train. There's still things to learn. I've been in the Bible. That's it, 25 years. You think I've arrived to know everything? Absolutely not. Still more training, more equipment I need to do. Evaluate yourself. I want you to turn back to Psalm 119, and this will be the last verse. We'll close with it. In a cinema ministry, we've been going through Psalm 119, and we covered this a couple weeks ago. The stanza starts in verse 105, but I want you to actually look at verse 112, the last verse of the stanza. And our subject matter when we preached through this was dealing with a determined walk. Our overall vision for the year is dealing with our walking with the Lord by walking in His Word. And with this stanza, we talked about a determined walk. Every stanza, we have some different aspect of the walk. And this one we called David having a determined walk. And you notice in verse 112, he says this, I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always. He's making foolproof, even unto the end. He inclined his heart that he was going to do and complete, perform the Word of God that was to him until the day he died. I'll ask you this one last question. What's your heart inclined to do? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I do thank you. I praise you for your word. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be able to share it. Lord, I can only hope and pray that the Word of God will be working in all of our lives. That we think upon this a long time. Not that it just be another message, another Sunday. That's it, that's done. Close the Bible. Nothing's changed. Lord, I pray for myself, Lord, that I would dwell on this continually and evaluate myself in the areas I need to grow. Because I know there's areas I need to grow in. I know I need to do better. I know I need to make full proof of the ministries, plural, that you've given me. As a husband, as a father, as a pastor, as a, in a sense, supervisor in dealing with karate. Lord, there's areas I can do better in to give you greater glory and that you can use me. And Lord, I pray that all of our hearts would be inclined
to perform the word of God that you've given to us in our dispensation, and that we would keep it unto the end, that we too can be like the Apostle Paul, coming down to the end of our life, knowing that we have fought a good fight, we have finished our course, and we kept the faith. May I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.